was Thomas Jefferson a quote-unquote Christian nationalist? Well, that question may sound absurd, but consider this. Recently, Jefferson biographer Mark Belisles wrote, quote, "A new documentary movie by Rob Reiner is now out on the topic of Christian nationalism. Followers assert that the U.S. is meant to be a Christian nation and want to take back the U.S. for God." End quote. What is a Christian nationalist? And was Jefferson, and frankly virtually all of the founding fathers who agreed with the Declaration of Independence, which says that our rights come from God, not the state, so-called Christian nationalists? Dr. Mark Belisles and I wrote a book many years ago on the faith or lack thereof of Thomas Jefferson entitled Doubting Thomas, and he joins us now to discuss Christian nationalism. Dr. Mark Belisles, great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you, Jerry. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, so Christian nationalism has become the new bogeyman as a way to kind of almost, you know, essentially vilify anybody on the right who wants to get involved in the political process. But the idea of it, I mean, the phraseology itself sounds scary, like we want to take over the country. So first, let's start with your understanding of what is a Christian nationalist, your understanding about Rob Reiner's new film, and then we'll ease into Jefferson.
Sure. A Christian nationalist is, to be honest, a very vague concept. There's probably about 50 different books written just about Christian nationalism in the last few years. I mean, the left is really beating this drum, but there is no agreement in anywhere that on what it even means. And so it ends up being, and as you mentioned, that is anyone that's motivated in speaking about their faith in the public arena, in the political process, is put under this sort of dangerous label of Christian nationalists. And of course, the idea basically that's trying to be portrayed is if there's some sort of theocracy, a modern day kind of way of sort of coercive, religious, system of governance, like, you know, it's like the Ayatollah or something. We're going to have sort of Christians take over, hold a coup or something, and then force their beliefs and take away all our democratic rights. And nothing, of course, is ever articulated like that by anybody.
I remember years ago, Michael Medved, Jewish conservative, he was a movie critic at one point, and now he writes these great books, including faith books and so forth, but he's also a talk show host. Anyway, he showed this clip from a film they made maybe about 20 years ago, and it was the Handmaid's Tale movie. And the idea of it was the right has taken over America, and now if a woman, let's say, has sex outside of marriage, they will hang her if they find out about it. I mean, it was like worse than, the Scarlet Letter or whatever, and all the people, cheered on this woman being hanged for committing fornication, for her sins. I think, in effect, they're trying to say that's what Christian nationalism would be if it took over.
Yeah, they believe we will enforce our morals upon everybody else in a coercive way using the state power, and that's the basic idea. And there's nothing in our American tradition, and which has always been influenced by people of faith, going back, whether it's, the working to abolish slavery to anyway, for even our colonial era, there's many, many kinds of evidences of Christian motivations in public life all throughout our history. It is nothing new. And yet somehow they're trying to make it as if it is.
Well, I think one could say, well, okay, if you look at certain aspects of Puritan New England, where if you didn't agree with those particular things, you would be better off just voluntarily leaving and getting out of that. Nobody forced you to stay there. If you weren't a part of the covenant and you didn't agree to abide by that strict morality, so be it. But what the left is accusing the right of doing is in effect creating a religious dictatorship or wanting to.
Correct. That's what they want to try to portray. And that's the idea, to use this kind of fear to try to encourage people to be quiet. I mean, no one really is, I want to make it clear, there's absolutely no desire, I think, for me, and I'm sure for you, for any sort of state coercion of religion, of our religious beliefs upon others. We don't want to coerce thing. That was absolutely, you know, not the way of Christ. And so there's that idea of nationalism and is definitely not what we believe in. But the problem is, just like just this week, there's this journalist from Politico who came out and made this assertion that Christian nationalism is anyone who believes that some of our rights come from God. So, which is, I think, thankfully, there's been some good pushback against that, because that is like going against completely everything about which our founding fathers believed. Thomas Jefferson said our rights come from God. Everybody agreed with this. It was in our actually literal founding documents that our rights come from God. But they're saying, oh, that's a sign of Christian nationalism if we talk about God and talk about rights come that way.
Okay, you just mentioned Jesus and freedom, and I want to have you start. We'll ease into Mr. Jefferson this way. Jefferson wrote a very important document about religious freedom in 1777, and it was adopted in 1786 when he was in France by his friend Madison in the Virginia legislature, the Virginia Statute for Religious Freedom. Almighty God has created the mind free, and he says in that document that if you force people to believe something against their will, their conscience, that's a violation of the plan of the holy author of our religion. And you can clearly tell from the context, there's nobody else he's talking about than Jesus Christ. He is talking about that's Jesus right. Christ. And he says Jesus, in effect, allows us to have the freedom to believe or not to believe. The state is not the one to decide that. You know, in the next life, yeah, there'll be accountability and so forth. But in this life, it's not up to the state. It's a departure from the plan of Jesus if you try and force people to believe this way or that way. So can you elaborate on that?
Yes. I mean, I think that is clearly often you clearly see Jefferson's motivation for ideas of freedom came from the Christian ideas, from Christ beliefs, Christ's philosophy of life. And so did most of our founding fathers. I like another one of Jefferson's letters while president in 1807 said that he says that the councils of the general government, or basically our federal government, and their decisions are drawn from the principles of humanity and the precepts of the gospel. He just flat out said that in an official document in 1807. Then another time, just for instance, I'll give another in 1817, he wrote, he says, our right to life and liberty are not left to the feeble and sophistical investigations of reason. We claim these under the charters, not under the charters of kings or legislators, but under the King of Kings. Right here gives this idea, Jefferson himself, of that freedom comes from God and from the gospel. It comes from the King of Kings. It's not a threat. It's the foundation of the very freedoms we all enjoy, even non-believers enjoy.
And we should point out, for those who are not familiar with the phrase King of Kings, that's, of course, Jesus in the Bible.
Correct.
Okay, so would Jefferson be labeled a Christian nationalist?
By the modern definitions, you know, I think he would. If all of a sudden he emerged today and did things like he was making all these references to God in his public messages and his writings and his official documents and speeches, addresses to Congress and proclamations, right there they would have thought, hey, you're improperly bringing your faith, and you're pushing your faith in upon the public. Number two, he was doing all kinds of things to actually offer government help to pastors and churches and religious causes. Like he wrote to the Ursuline nuns in 1804 as president. This was a group of nuns in Louisiana. And he says, I offer you all the patronage that my government can offer, basically protecting their property and all kinds of things. There's just other ways he gave money directly to fund, schools started by pastors and for Indians and other kinds of things. He was using federal government to promote religious causes. And so he would have been considered, oh, you're violating, you're stepping across all these lines. And so many other ways in which he encouraged directly, hey, can we use the Capitol for this preacher to come in? And he asked his favorite preacher. He said, can we get Reverend Glendy, Presbyterian, to preach in the Capitol? Can we get John Leland, a Baptist, to preach in the Capitol? His personal request. These are things that almost nobody ever hears. But if today he was doing all of this, he would be put sort of in this dangerous, definition that they smear people with.
You know, I think the modern secularists that promote this kind of thing, in effect, what they're trying to say is, well, when it comes to government, only secularists need apply. If you have a deep, abiding faith in God, maybe there's something wrong with you and you have no place in America. And if you, or in leadership, and if you do try and assert any kind of leadership, then you're guilty of Christian nationalism.
Yep, that's what they want. And it's all basically, it's a political, I think, goal. They want to suppress those who have their faith to be in that arena. And I think it's important that Christians are informed. Listen, we're not trying to push anything new. Study. We encourage them, read up. Read some of the books you and I've written together. Read others. There's plenty out there. You don't have to be intimidated by as if somehow this is something new that you're doing. You're standing in the best traditions of American democratic, life by bringing your faith motivation into public policy. It is what it's all about. We're not saying coerce for something. We're saying use the democratic process. And that's for unbelievers and secular people, their freedom as well as those of faith.
Would you say that most of the founding fathers were Christians, and does that matter? And would they have been labeled effectively as Christian nationalists, including even George Washington?
I most certainly. If George Washington did those same kinds of things today that he did back then, he would, I think, put into that category today. They would accuse him of the same things. But back then, he was universally acclaimed. No one even challenged him to run for president. No one ever, even fought with someone else to be the chair of the Constitutional Convention. But he brought his faith was what made him who he was, as was most of the founding fathers. It shaped their values. It shaped their worldview. It shaped so much of their life. Doesn't mean they were perfect, and they were often inconsistent, of course, with things. But without a doubt, any honest study of their writings, of their letters, of their activities would show that they mostly were Christian, and they would have probably, by the modern definition, scared some people.
Now, I saw parts of the trailer with Rob Reiner's movie about Christian nationalism. I don't know if you happened to see the movie itself, but it seemed to have a lot of stuff related to January 6th. We have about 1 minute left. Thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think clearly they're trying to connect a number of things. With this movie, they seem to be trying to connect Trump, anything negative about him, the January 6th events, anything dealing with, racist activities that would be, alarming to people, anything like this. They try to bring all of these things into some sort of guilt by association with then a Christian who might be, there might have been a Christian out there on the people had a cross or something. There might have been some that had that motivation. We don't know if they were true Christians or not, but if they might have been in the crowd, and that connects them to sort of all these things like January 6th, or just because they're in the crowd with Trump, or maybe a pastor prays for Trump. Pastors prayed for every president, prayed for Clinton, prayed for Obama, prayed for everybody. But this doesn't mean there's some sort of conspiracy or something to be afraid of.
All right, very good. DoubtingThomasBook.com. People can get more information. Mark Belials, again, the book that you and I wrote together was called Doubting Thomas. It honestly dealt with, there were some tough questions Jefferson had in terms of his own personal life and so forth. But there's no question he wanted to banish God from the public arena. Mark, thanks. All the best. God bless.
Thank you, Jerry. God bless you.